Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our current series of studies, seven figures depicting or portraying the Christian as seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2. All those of you who have been listening to the broadcast repeatedly, remember that we have considered the Christian as a son, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the Christian as a workman. And this is found in the 15th verse of that second chapter of 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice, please, we are told here that we are workmen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we wish to consider the workman as the earnest workman, the capable workman, and the effective workman. We are workmen. We should be able to handle the word of God. We should be able to tell people, as Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 3, we should be able to tell people where they approach us and they ask us the reason of the hope that lieth within us, that we may tell them without any difficulty whatsoever, in meekness and fear, being able to explain our point of view. And we're exhorted to do it by Peter. Now, we've got to use words to do it. We've got to use the right words, because this verse says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, not to be embarrassed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this word dividing is in the original. One translation has it, cutting in a straight line the word of truth. This truth belongs on this side of the line. This truth belongs on that side of the line. It is skill, and we should give serious thought to understanding the scripture correctly, especially if we teach it, whether in the Sunday school or whether by private conversation, certainly not only in the sense of the speaking publicly. There are other ways of teaching the word of God than speaking publicly, and we should be really able and willing to be able to use the right words, describing the scripture and its truth correctly, with the goal of being approved of God. God wants us to be very able to expound his word. We need to be the capable workmen, thoroughly equipped, willing to serve our apprenticeship, willing to listen to the words of others, sit at the feet of others, and certainly being capable of workmen. And then we should be effective workmen, and we wish to consider the different ways which we may be effective workmen in the broadcast today. And we wish to distinguish between the literal and the figurative in interpreting the Bible. We need to do that. If we don't, we will find ourselves in serious difficulty. The Christian, as workman, needs to distinguish between the two natures as seen in the Bible, and then to distinguish between the dispensations. Now, I've only mentioned three of many things in the Bible that need to be distinguished, cutting in a straight line, speaking to people. In the expounding of the Word of God, we need to put the Scriptures in their context. We need to consider to whom they are spoken. Oh, there is so much to learn. We can't possibly, in the small scope of this broadcast, speak of this in any detail at all. But we want to give at least a hint of what the earnest workman really is, that we might show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. All right, now let's consider the different ways where the workman must be skilled in distinguishing between the literal and the figurative of the Word of God. Now, if we don't distinguish that which is literal and which is figurative, we find ourselves in trouble. For instance, the Lord says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Now, you don't want to do that literally, do you? He's speaking spiritually. And we need to consider, we need to distinguish between the figurative, the spiritual, and the figurative, which are synonymous, and the literal interpretation. I can't think of a better way of doing it than turning to the sixth chapter of John's Gospel. The Lord Jesus had fed the 5,000 on the day previous to the day that he spoke these scriptures. I don't think the multitude realized that he had performed a miracle. The disciples did. But they came to him and they said, "Our fathers," this is verse 31 of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, "our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Prove us that you're the Messiah. Moses gave us bread. Now you give us bread. Listen to the words of the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Now, is the Lord speaking literally? Does that mean that when a Christian comes to the Lord and is born again, that he never suffers hunger anymore? He never gets thirsty anymore in the literal sense? Of course, it doesn't mean that at all. The Lord has something else in mind. He's not talking about physical hunger. He's talking about soul hunger. And we can be just as hungry in our souls as we can in our bodies. And he's spiritualizing this. He's giving the figurative meaning of it. He's spiritualizing it. Now, farther over in the same chapter, he says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" You see, they were giving it the literal sense. And the Lord continued, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Can you imagine what this shock this had upon the Jews, who were told that they should never eat blood in Moses' law? And that the Lord is speaking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. How repulsive this was to them. They should have listened. And he gave them a lesson, a real lesson, a spiritual lesson. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Now, what the Lord was really telling these people is, "I am the one who can satisfy your heart. And as you must appropriate literal food for it to do you any good, so you must appropriate my body being nailed to the cross for your sins." And they did not yet know that. They would know it. They would know it when they remembered the words that the Lord spoke after he was crucified. The Lord was crucified upon that cross. You and I today must appropriate the fact that that body of his, which is represented by the bread, that body was nailed to the cross for our sins. We must remember and appropriate the fact that his blood was shed to wash away our sins. We need to appropriate food for it to do us any good, and we need to appropriate the cross work of Christ to do any good. If we don't, we'll die. And certainly these Jews were in a bad way. Now, if they had listened to the Lord and realized that he was speaking to them in the spiritual, in the figurative sense, and not taken it in the literal sense, oh, what they could have gained. What they could have gained. Now let's think of another figure, another way of distinguishing the literal from the figurative or the spiritual. The figurative, the spiritual, is synonymous. Now, we read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Now, before we read these verses, I want to say this, that when we were born again, the Spirit of God, the moment that we put our trust in Christ, the Spirit of God brought the life of Christ, the nature of Christ, and put that life within us. Now, don't ask me how he did it. That's his business, not mine. My business is believing. The Spirit of God, when we are born again, puts the life of Christ within us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That life is within us. Now, that life is called the new man. The old nature, we have two natures. The Christian is really a dual person. He has two natures. He is still an Adam. He has the old Adamic nature. He has that old nature that is so prone to sin and can do nothing else. And then he has a new nature that seeks after God. And he's in trouble. The natures strive against each other. They each want expression. Now, in the matter of distinguishing between these two natures, we read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Lie not to one another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after him, after the image of him that created him. We have two natures, and we should stifle the one, we should starve the one, and feed the other. Now, we can also distinguish, we can also cut in a straight line the Word of God. We can also rightly divide the word of truth by considering the distinction between law and grace, the two dispensations. Now, don't be frightened by that technical-sounding term, dispensation. It's in the Scripture. But the two dispensations, law and grace. Now, when the children of Israel, before Christ came, they were in the desert and they needed law. They had no law, national law, to go by. God gave them a law. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them the ordinances. And the Ten Commandments are perfect. But they were only for that dispensation. They were only for that period. When Christ came and was nailed to the cross, being cursed by the law for you and for me, we're to listen to him. Now, don't expect Christ's commandments to you and to me, his request for to you and to me, to be in opposition to the law. But our minds are on Christ instead of on the law, and we imitate him by love. And that is what God wants us to do. We need to make this distinction. Many more distinctions could be made in rightly dividing the word of truth, but we cannot consider them now. Father, today, help us to understand the word of God correctly. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.